Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Christian Sentinel radio network, which is on Blog Talk Radio, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And that's a great channel over there. There's many different Bible teachers there. John Haller and Randy Shelton and Jackie and Mike from On Point Preparedness and Cindy Hartline. So that's available for your listening instruction in the things of the Lord. And also we have our YouTube channel, Prophetic News. Well, it's actually under my name, Susan Puzio, so if you go to YouTube, I've been putting up videos. I've been having a lot of fun this week with learning how to use my Power Director program. So it's a learning curve because I didn't really know anything about using these programs, and it's hard to get someone to instruct you. You get these videos, but most of the time the videos are a little confusing. And then they give you these instructions, which sometimes the instructions are kind of confusing. Did you ever notice that sometimes when you're trying to put something together and the instructions come from China and you're kind of scratching your head because you can't figure out the instructions? Anyway, we put up some good videos this week. And we put up the, I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, about the Paula White birthday offering. Last week, I happened to catch the end of one of her services where her associate pastor got up. I say her associate pester. I don't say pastor, I say pester, because it's the same thing with Paula White. She's a pester, not a pastor. So he gets up and he's going to take up a birthday offering for her. Now, Paula White makes probably over $1 million a year, including her salary and her housing allowance and her car allowance and whatever else allowance she has. But so can you imagine that you're a multimillionaire and you're asking the people in your congregation to give you birthday money? Oh dear! Well, the people will do it. They'll do it. Many pastors do these kind of things. They have Pastor Appreciation Day. They have birthdays. They have anniversaries, and they always have their hand out. But I thought that they were supposed to be there to serve the people. It seems like they're serving themselves. Amen. It seems like they're serving themselves. So anyway, there's some good videos there. And then I've been working a little bit on my Greedy Preachers TV channel, which doesn't have that many subscribers or views, but I'm trying to post some things over there too. And then of course we have our two books, which are available on Amazon. I think they're available on some other outlets as well. I see some people selling it on eBay, which I'm glad they do. I'm glad that they do. So we have Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. And they really do. They put people under some kind of a spell, and people just get that checkbook out and start writing those checks. So then we have Paula White, renegade presidential spiritual advisor, the miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. And I always say it, now, how did that happen? How did that happen? Oh, dear. You can't make it up. You really just can't make it up. It's beyond the anybody that has any kind of logical thinking to think that someone like Paula White, who doesn't know God herself, would be advising a president of the United States. So we'll get into that. We have a little bit of information about this new organization that Paula White is heading, the American, she's going to be heading the American values. No, you can't make it up. No, you can't. A woman that has no values, and she's going to be chairing the committee for American values. I don't know what's wrong with people. These people that, especially that associate around the former president, Trump, and don't they know who they're associating with, and don't they care who they're lending their name to? They don't seem to really care. They don't. They have someone like Pam Bondi on one of the committees, and she was the former attorney general here in Florida. And you would think that she would know what kind of a person Paula White is, that she's a con artist and an immoral person. And why would she want to lend her name? And even why would Donald Trump want to lend his name to someone like that too, which I would love to ask him if I ever got the chance. I would definitely pose that question to him because it's unbelievable. But it kind of reminds me in a way, when you think of it, being in the end times as we are, and as fast as things are happening around us, it kind of reminds you of the false prophet that's going to be around the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will have this false prophet, and everybody will think that because the false prophet is associated with the Antichrist, they must be okay. And it's kind of like what we see with these false prophets and these false teachers that surround themselves around politicians. And I think it's a real parallel for us. And it's something to consider when we're looking at politicians. But politics is it's a nasty business. And being involved in church politics myself, to some extent, I never liked it. I didn't want to play politics. I didn't like people using me for their own ends in some cases. And I just despised it, really. And so it's even worse when you're in the world, because these people that are in worldly politics, most of them don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they compromise to get ahead and to make a name for themselves. And that's what we see in the days we're living in as far as the church politics, people selling themselves out to the devil, basically, so that they could have fame and fortune. And they can't be satisfied with whatever the Lord gives them. They have to steal from people, and they have to lie about Jesus so that they could buy mansions, and they could buy fancy cars and Rolex watches. They tell you that God wants to give you money so that you can use it to spread the gospel. Well, yeah, it takes money to spread the gospel. There's no doubt about that. If you're going to have some kind of a public ministry and you have to purchase things, or you have a building that you're trying to keep going, those kind of things. But basically, everybody's required to preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel by opening your mouth, and that doesn't cost anything. But they don't like to emphasize the point of personal evangelism, which is the way I got saved. I didn't get saved through a television ministry or a radio ministry or a big crusade or anything like that. I met an evangelist, and him and his wife, they led me to the Lord, and they told me over dinner one night that I was messed up, and I was in the state of shock because I didn't think I was messed up. Nobody does before you're saved, right? You don't think you're messed up until you come to the realization that you are messed up. So, boy, I went home from that dinner party and I was upset. I kept saying to myself, who do they think they are, those silly Christians with those smiles? They're always smiling. And they have that silly look on their face. And they're telling me that I'm messed up. Well, it wasn't a few weeks later that, yes, I got down on my knees and I said, well, Jesus, I don't know if you're real, but if you are real and you're who you say you are, then I'm sorry for my sins and I'm asking you to come into my life and change my life. And let me tell you something, he did. Wow. He changed me overnight. I was, they used to call us Jesus freaks back in those days, but yeah, I couldn't stop talking about the Lord and about what he did for me. So God can save anybody, but when you get saved, you're supposed to change, and you don't see the changes with people like Benny Hinn or Paula White or Creflo Dollar or Kenneth Copeland. You don't see the heartfelt compassion of the Lord coming through these people. They build these mega ministries, and next week Jackie's going to be on the program and we're going to talk about, has the pandemic been a judgment from God to break up the mega churches? And some of the mega churches have been in trouble recently, and I think they're going to continue to be in trouble. I'm not sure if they got any more money from the new stimulus program. I don't know if they did or not, but without the help of the government, I think many of them will most likely start to have to sell some of their properties off, which Ed Young Jr., who had, I don't know how many, they call them campuses. I don't know why they call them campuses. All of a sudden, that's the big word for where churches are located. And he gave up one of his properties in Florida. It was a big building. I think, I don't know if they had 7 acres or something like that. But anyway, he gave it to some church called the VU Church. I'm like, what is the VU Church? The VU Church. You notice that back in the days when I got saved, they had normal names for churches. Normal names. Now they have all these weird names for churches. And it kind of sounds like New Agey to me, where they're trying to disguise the fact that it's really a Christian church with some of the crazy names that they come up with. And they can't just say New Beginnings or New Life or something like that. It has to be something, some kind of a strange name for a church. And then, of course, they can't have any kind of symbolism there. And everything has to be seeker-friendly and user-friendly. You don't want people to feel like they might really be in a church building. But, of course, the church is not a building. The church is made up of the body of Christ. And so we have seen a radical change in church attendance. There was a survey that came out a few weeks ago, and I think they were saying that 50% of the church population didn't go back to church because of the pandemic. So I think a lot of people probably won't go back to these buildings, because after you're in these buildings for a while with some of these so-called ministers of the gospel, and they're not, that you probably start coming out of your stupor, and then you realize that, wow, I was being sheered over. I was being sheered over at that place I was at. So I kind of like having my freedom, which I don't see the point in getting dressed up and driving somewhere to sit and listen to false teaching. I just because you say, I have to go to church, you're better off not going than having to expose yourself to that kind of thing. But of course, if you can find a good fellowship with a pastor that has a heart for God, then yeah, more power to you. There's nothing it is rewarding to be among the saints. Of course, things are changed. Things are different now. And I don't know if it's ever going to go back to being the kind of normal that we once knew. Who knows, right? But anyway, let's play this scripture here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, it's a good word for us to take heed in these times that we're living in. There was a shocking video that I came across the other day, and it truly shocked me, upset me. I couldn't believe actually what I was hearing from Robert Jeffers, who has a big church there in Dallas, I believe he's in Dallas, and also has been associated with the former President Trump. But I guess it goes to show you that, at one time, the Baptists were pretty solid. You knew when you were going into a Baptist church that you were going to hear the gospel. For the most part, you were going to hear the gospel, and you were especially going to hear about salvation. You knew that. But I wonder how weird can it get when something like this comes out of the mouth of Robert Jeffers. Here, this is shocking.
Changed any minds? Well, we're working on it. I did a piece for the Fox News Rundown this week. I'm talking about it everywhere I can. Look, those of us who value life, and I know you do, we talk about life inside the womb being a gift from God. Well, life outside the womb is a gift from God, too. We need to be consistent and do everything we can to protect the life God has given
us. Now, I don't want to discourage anybody from taking the vaccines because we've got to stop this pandemic, but there is concern among some Catholic bishops and some evangelicals as well, that the cell lines that were used to develop certain vaccines, particularly Johnson & Johnson, came from aborted feces, came from aborted babies. Let's just say it out loud. So what exactly is your answer to that? I mean, there are people that don't want any connection there with abortion and vaccines.
Well, look, first of all, we would never abort babies to provide a vaccine. I think Francis Collins has denied that linkage, and he is a strong Christian himself. But, David, if we're talking about something from babies that were already aborted, I would just remind people the whole Christian message is that Christ, who was innocent, died for us and brought something good out of that unjust death. And I think if lives can be saved, even from the unrighteous killing of a baby, that there's something to be gained there. So I would not refuse the vaccine on that point alone.
Pastor Jeffries, what a pleasure to see you. It's been a while. Thanks very much for coming in.
You can't even believe that that came out of his mouth. And he's trying to, this is how ignorant this man is that he didn't even do his research. Because he's saying that somebody else said, well, that's not true about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It is true. They put it on their own website. And if anybody wants the documents, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com, and I'd be happy to send them to you. Or you can get the documents on Children of God for Life. They have all the documents there, as well as which vaccines contain the cell lines from aborted babies. But Johnson & Johnson vaccine definitely did use the cell lines in the production. Even though they say it's not in the vaccine, it is in the vaccine as far as there is DNA that was left over these cell lines. But every vaccine that was developed for this COVID thing was developed and tested using these cell lines from abortion. And it's big business. It's big business, but no man or woman of God would ever recommend that people take a vaccine that contains something from a dead, murdered child. It's just, I couldn't believe it, that this man is so ignorant. And to recommend to people to go ahead and take this thing, I was absolutely stunned, let me tell you. And they're planning on even lifting some of these regulations that were in effect as far as developing any new cell lines. But there's a big business in selling these baby parts. And they even ask, there was a video that was done, and I can't remember the name of the website. I guess if you search for it online, you probably would find this video of the selling of baby parts, where when women go into some of these clinics for an abortion, they sign a paper saying that they're willing to donate the parts afterwards for medical research. If you can believe that one, yeah, it's true. They have the videos of someone going in undercover and the people that were running the clinics actually admitted it. Of course, people have known for a long time that this kind of thing was going on, but it's never really been given the kind of attention that it should be given. And it just goes to show you how wicked the world is, you know, the world around us. And Christians have to take a stand. If you're really a Christian and you're really born again, you can't come out with such a stupid statement like that. And to equate using an aborted baby and a vaccine to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ giving his life, well, nobody is using any part of his body for medical research. Anyway, that's the end. I will never listen to anything Robert Jeffress has to say. And I was totally shocked by his ignorance. I'm going to play that clip one more time for you so you can hear it one more time.
Changed any minds?
Well, we're working on it. I did a piece for the Fox News Rundown this week. I'm talking about it everywhere I can. Look, those of us who value life, and I know you do, we talk about life inside the womb being a gift from God. Well, life outside the womb is a gift from God, too. We need to be consistent and do everything we can to protect the life God has given
us. Now, I don't want to discourage anybody from taking the vaccines because we've got to stop this pandemic, but there is concern among some Catholic bishops and some evangelicals as well, that the cell lines that were used to develop certain vaccines, particularly Johnson & Johnson, came from aborted.
Even make it up. But anyway, here's Paula White now. Paula White. Paula White is now heading. She's the chairwoman for American Values. Unbelievable.
I really had a few things that were on my heart I wanted to share with you. Yesterday, we rolled out the AFPI. You say, what is that? That's the American First Policy Institute. Really excited to be a part of this and to share the American values for things that are so dear to my heart, such as, and all of our hearts, religious liberty, pro-life, Second Amendment, First Amendment, things that are just critical. And I'm proud of the work that we've been able to establish under the leadership of people like Brooke Rollins and Larry Kudlow and Glenda McMahon and so many other great people, Pam Bondi, Jack Brewer is going to be working, and Scott Turner, and just an array of almost 50-something people. They have done such great efforts. It's a nonpartisan policy group that we are going to fight for all of our rights, small business. There are 17 different centers total. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, from Center of American Prosperity and the American Worker and Center for 1776 and Center for Energy Independence and Opportunity Now and Center for Frontiers and the Environment and the American Child, taking care of our children. But in a time where we're living where everything from big tech to corporations to a dizzying array of radical left progressive agendas that want to say that an 8-year-old has the right to choose to go under hormone therapy without parental consent for gender identity. Things have just gone so far. In the long run, we're going to see a lot of victories. First off, God is on our side. But for the next year or two, we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm so proud and am proud to be working as chairwoman over American Values. Hope you go to American First Policy Institute, sign up on our web, get information. And then we went to a meeting with about 150 people.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, first of all, she can't stay out of the news. She's got to be in the news with something, right? But she names all these other people that are heading up all these other committees and working alongside her. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? Here's Paula now. Here's Paula.
waiting on the Lord. The Lord's been waiting on you this whole time because it's illegal for God to do anything in the earth unless he partners with somebody. So when he says, let man have dominion, he already blessed you. He already gave you rulership. He already gave you reign. Get over yourself. Come on, fix your brain like Dr. Carolyn's going to tell you, and let the Holy Ghost lead you into the power of God and do what God's called you to do. And when God tells you, empty it and bring that full offering. When God says, lay the keys to your house down at this altar. When God says, empty your bank account, do it in the name of Jesus, because God is getting ready to open doors that are going to blow your mind, because you are his world changer. Amen.
Yeah. There's the chairwoman for the American Values telling people to empty out their bank accounts and lay the keys to their house down on the altar there at Rodney Howard Brown's church. Yeah, that's the chairwoman for American Values. And she says that. She also says that God can't do anything on the earth. She said it was illegal for God to do anything on the earth unless he partnered with somebody. I wonder who he partnered with. Who is he? What human was he partnering with when he created the heavens and the earth? I'd like to ask Paula that question. I guess she didn't read Genesis. She didn't read Genesis, did she? No. I wonder who's going to protect. They want to protect people from all these things that are going on in the world. But who's going to protect anybody from her? What child? She's worried about children. So does she want her granddaughter or her grandson coming into contact with somebody like her? Obviously they do, but would she want them to leave the protection of her home and go out and meet a con woman like you that would tell them to give away their house and empty their bank account to some preacher? I don't think so. What a con artist. No. You can't believe it. Here's the other. Now, this is from last week at Paula White's Fleecing Center there in Apopka, Florida. And usually in the past, before, she got a lot of bad publicity about her offerings and things. So in the past, though, when it was her birthday, she used to stand up in the front there. And she would tell people to come down and actually put the birthday money in her hand. And one year she told people that she was going to start a shoe business with her birthday money. That sounds like a real Christian ministry, right? Shoe line. Anyway, she never did start a shoe line, but I don't think she did it last year where she actually had the people come up. I guess she might have been embarrassed because of the pandemic to actually have them come up and put the money in her hand after she's getting $1 million a year in salary and compensation. Plus, who knows what she's paying her husband over there to be Minister John and her son and her daughter-in-law. I'm sure they all get lucrative salaries. So, the reason I know this, and I mentioned it to you before, but court documents were released from a lawsuit where Paula sued this sister from YouTube, and Paula wound up losing the second case. And so she had to release her financial documents to the sister that she originally sued, and then they tried to keep the documents sealed, but the court decided that they were going to release it to the public, where the Washington Post intervened and the Trinity Foundation, and they filed paperwork to ask that the documents be made public. So when the documents were made public, that's how I was able to see her financial information, her salary for, I think it was for 1 or 2 years. The documents didn't go back to the whole time that she's been at New Destiny, but those documents are public. So her tax return was there and the income for the church. And then, of course, 1 year when she had Pastor Appreciation Day, she had $65,000 offering that time. I don't know what she got for her birthday in that year, I don't know if that was documented, but anyway, this year, her associate, Pastor Todd Lamphier, and he is taking up her birthday offering here now. Get ready to get your tissues out, please.
Thank you. There we go. Next week is her birthday. We're going to celebrate her birthday next Sunday. Amen. Now, we've placed some birthday cards out. We've made this easy for you. You may want to get your own, but we went ahead and got a bunch of birthday cards out there. A little bit of an instruction. I want you to write a personal note to Pastor. When I say she reads every single one of these, she reads every single one of these. And if there's anyone on the planet that needs a word of encouragement, it's the woman of God who is on this platform every single week.
Aww.
Only heaven will fully reveal the arrows that have been shot at her, the protection that she has covered the body of Christ with. So this is our time to love on her. So I want you to take one of, there's a little instruction sheet. Take this anyways, even if you're going to get your own card, take a little instruction sheet in here. I'm going to ask you to join my wife and myself in blessing her. I mean, blessing her. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? And so, next week, come with your card. Made it easy for you. I got you your birthday card, all right? You may not like it. Oh, this horses, it's pretty good, since she's into horses. You can get your own, but come back. We're going to have a table set out if you want to give her a gift. We'll have a table set out there for her, but really want you to write her a note of encouragement. Maybe something specific that God has used in your life because of her. Amen. This is fuel to her fire right here. Those lonely nights. Listen, I got texts like at 11:30 last night from her, and she was going strong. All right, the labor of love. We enjoy our Saturdays, right? She's locked down preparing the word. So she doesn't have a Saturday.
Oh.
Just for us. So this is our opportunity to do that. Amen. Let's do that for her. And I want you this week, I want you to pray. She's not asking this. I'm asking this for us. Ask God, how can I bless the woman of God this week? Just ask, and then that's all. How can you do that? You can put a love gift in here. I'm telling you. In fact, anything you do, if you're going to write a check, write it out to City of Destiny and put in the memo, Pastor's Love Gift. If you're going to use the pink envelope, there's a place for that as well. But I want to let you know, this is our time to shine. Amen?
Yeah.
This is our time to really love on her. And I know, I told my wife, I said, I'm excited about doing this.
Yeah.
You know, this is exciting to be able to tell someone tangibly how much we love them. Thank you so much for being with us today. God bless you all. Rainy day. You know, you may want to stay here and just pray some more, all right? But it's going to be a great day. Now, let's arise and we're going to...
Oh, can you imagine the sacrifices she makes for $1 million a year? And she gives up her Saturdays. Oh. I just feel so sorry for her. If this guy had an ounce of decency, which he doesn't, because he's just a sellout, because he wants his big salary and whatever benefits he's getting for being there. So instead of telling the people, look, we're already giving Paul $1 million a year, so she doesn't really need your money. You can write her a card, but we're not giving out any gifts. she's got a husband, let her husband buy her a gift. I thought when you were married and you had a husband, that your husband's supposed to buy your birthday gift. But he's as bad as her. He's a multimillionaire in his own right. But how greedy can you get? I mean, give me a break. Certainly wouldn't be taking up any birthday offerings if I was getting a $650,000 salary from my church, plus my housing allowance, and I'm living in a multimillion dollar home, and my husband drives a Lamborghini, so I certainly wouldn't be asking people for birthday offerings, Graceful. This is the chairwoman of American Values. Please write to whoever is on that committee and express your outrage that they would have anybody appoint anybody as wicked as Paula White to chair an organization for American Values. But here's another thing that Paula, here's the chairman of American Values, and she's pushing this favor offering, which she also sent out an appeal letter asking people to send her a birthday gift to her friends and partners. So she says that she believes that April 2021 is the month of anointing, and she's going to come into agreement with you. And she says, Father, thank you for the seed that has been designed by you, but planted by my precious friend to release this anointing of favor. Lord, I ask that when this favor seed is released and I hold it in my hand, as I decree, release the favor, a very special anointing will rest upon my hand, my friend, in Jesus' name. Respond back to me with your favor seed of $50, $130, or more right now. This is the time frame given to me by the Spirit of God. Yeah, her God, Satan. That's her God. I feel it should be within the next 48 hours. Do it immediately if you can. I will pray and believe that God will release supernatural favor into your life. A favor harvest in these four areas. Yeah, you're going to get, if you give her seed money, you're going to get abundant resources. God is going to cause your enemies to be still. Wow. God is going to give you healing miracles and promised blessings, and he's going to give you access to opportunity. Yeah. All you have to do is send Paula a favor offering. I have news for her. Favor is free. You don't have to send any offerings to get favor, but this is what a liar and a thief she is. And she's going to be heading up the chair for American Values. But I encourage you to do some research online. They have a website, which she mentioned there. And there was a newspaper story that was released. But call some of these people and ask them, do you know who you're working with there? Have you done any investigation into the methods of this woman, the extortion of this woman? That it's an embarrassment to the body of Christ and to human beings in general to have somebody like this heading up American Values. Dear God, help us, but it was. what is this world coming to? That's how crazy it is, and expect it to get crazier as time goes by. But here, now Benny Hinn, yesterday when I was on YouTube, this video came across, and it was Benny Hinn and the power of the seed. Well, it was done. Yesterday it was released, and he already had something like 7,000 views. And I think he's got 200 or 300,000 subscribers on his channel, if you could believe that. I don't know if you can pay to get subscribers. Maybe you can, but anyway, that's how many subscribers show up. And by the way, about a week or so ago, Benny Hinn lost a lawsuit that he didn't pay. He has a habit of not paying his bills. And he could blab all he wants about all the seeds he's sown and how God blesses him. And anyway, he lost this lawsuit where the people that were doing his direct mailing, he had owed them $4 or $5 million for years. And I think this lawsuit was going on for a long time. I didn't get the documents yet, but as soon as I get them, I'll read some of that to you. But anyway, he lost the lawsuit, and now the judge said he has to pay this money. So he's desperate. You know, he's desperate for money because he's got to pay this bill. And so I guess that's why he's back begging. And he's sitting in his car, and somebody's chauffeuring him around. And then he's telling the people how much he loves them. He's telling them how much he loves them as he's picking their pocket and lying to them about Jesus. But this first audio I'm going to play, we had talked about probably a year or two ago when Benny first said that he didn't believe anymore that you had to give $1,000 to, he was going to stop all that because he knew it was wrong. That didn't last long anyway.
Old man, we call that the flesh, must be broken, must be out of the way. And today, sadly, among a lot of circles, all you hear is how to build the flesh. It's a feel-good message. That's what you hear out there. It's all about feel good, do good, all that. Make money, all the rest of it. And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. And I'm correcting my own theology, and you need to all know it. Because when I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw the Bible 20 years ago. And Steve Strang from Charisma, whom we go back years, he was in my wedding. People don't even know that Charisma magazine began with my father-in-law. Charisma magazine started with Roy Harlan, and I married his daughter. So Steve Strang was in my wedding. We go way back. And he's already asked me, said, are you ready to make it public? I said, well, not totally, because I don't want to hurt my friends or my love who believe things I don't believe anymore. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life. And frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore. So I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you who. It was Dan Willis. I love Dan with all my heart. I said, don't you dare preach that message again. Just a few days ago. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to hear it. I don't want to be a part of it. So when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore. Because if you look at the Word of God, I don't want to get into it now. Am I shocking you? Good, let's have a high five on this one. If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's about all I will say. If you are not giving because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. I think giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach. And I've been sick for a while, too. I just couldn't say it. And now the lid is off. I've had it. You know why? I don't want to get to heaven and be rebuked.
You're not getting there.
No, I think it's time we say it like it is. The gospel is not for sale. And the blessings of God are not for sale. And miracles are not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale.
Whoa, he was preaching good over there, right? That was about 2 years ago. That was about 2 years ago. Well, how things have changed. So here's from yesterday.
That covenant is so powerful, it's more powerful than creation itself. More powerful than the world. More powerful than the economy of the United States and the whole globe. If you do your part. And doing our part is so simple. It's obedience, obedience. We have to obey. So Jesus said, give. That's our part. You can't see a harvest without a seed. That's impossible. Now, the second you give, you trigger the covenant. You release its power. I'm telling you. I will never forget, when I was in deep debt. And God brought me out when Roy Harden talked to me. 6 months later, the whole thing was paid off. $200,000 gone. Paid off. People were sending me envelopes in the mail. God spoke to me to give you this. I couldn't believe it. It was an amazing thing for me to see God at work. And I had a hard time obeying. Roy said to me, he said, you know, how long have you been a Christian? I'm thinking, what has this got to do with it? He said, because you've never given to God. All your offerings were emotional and they were dismissed. He said, now start fresh and go back to the day you were saved and pay God back everything you owe him. I was shocked. I said, what? He said, well, since you never gave him because of the law, you gave him because of your emotions, you got to go back. That was 1978. I was born again in 72. He said, now you're going to go back and pay God what you owe him for the last 6 years. I did. I gave every cent I had. I emptied the accounts.
Yeah.
So much so, 7 members of the board out of 9 resigned and said, we don't want to be a part of a ministry of a madman. But I knew God spoke to me.
Yeah.
And all that debt was paid. And those 7 board members came back, wanted to get back on the board. And apologized. I said, no. I said, you didn't believe it when God spoke to me then. Why would you believe me again? Never had them back on the board. Now, 47 years of ministry and nearly 50 years of being a Christian, I'm seeing God's hand. I look back and I see God's hand everywhere on me. The covenant people, the covenant works. The Lord, it works. It's time to really believe the word now. No, we cannot look at the world and all the conditions today because of all that's going on. People are afraid of the future. Not us. We're not afraid of the future. Our future is brighter than our past. I'm here to tell you, your future is brighter than you know. All you have to do is obey the Lord. The Lord is speaking to some of you right now. To sow seed. It's time you take him at his word and let the seed work. The seed works by itself while you're sleeping, just like the farmers when they sow. Because they trigger powerful forces out of the seed. All right. The power of the seed is so strong. I was in a desperate situation one time.
I'm in Israel. A lawsuit. A real serious one. Against the ministry. I'm at the Wailing Wall. I said, Lord, I'm going to sow $10,000 if you'll get us out of this problem.
Yeah.
My lawyer, I called him. He was in Dallas. I said, go to the judge and put a gag order on the case. He said, there's no way. He said, that judge, the lady, she was a lady, hates evangelists.
Yeah, she probably does hate evangelists like you, especially if she never saw any real evangelists. He's a riot, isn't he? He says that your seed works while you're sleeping. Oh, yeah. And then he says, I hear the Lord saying, no, Jesus doesn't talk like that. If any of your friends or crazy relatives or anybody ever tries to argue with you about the seed sowing thing where it comes to money, just ask them, give me one incident where Jesus Christ himself, when he walked the earth, ever asked anybody for a seed faith offering. It never happened. He never asked anybody for a tithe. He never asked anybody for a seed offering. He never went up. They like to say the Lord's telling me, well, give me one example where the Lord Jesus Christ walked up to somebody and said, whispered in their ear, and you know, if Benny, say Benny was alive at the time that Jesus walked the earth, and Jesus said, Benny, I need $10,000. If you give me $10,000 and you show me how sincere you are and that you want this money to trigger me to do something, so Benny, give me that $10,000 and I'll work everything out for you. No, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, he never did anything like that ever. So I have news for Benny Hinn. You're not hearing from the Lord. You're hearing from probably your Lord, the Lord of the flies, Satan, because that sounds like Satan talking. And how you've changed, Benny, how you've changed after that sermon you gave about conning people out of their money. Anyway, here's part two from yesterday.
There'll be no way she'll even listen to me. I said, listen, you go do your job and I'll do mine. I said, Lord, $10,000 I'm sowing if you'll get me out of this. I'm walking away from the Wailing Wall after praying, because I spoke to him before that, to the Lord, I mean. I'm walking away because we stood for a while talking, and my cell phone rings, and it's the lawyer. He said, I don't know how you did it. And I'm like, what? He said, the lawyer not only agreed to put a gag, she dismissed the case altogether. And that happened to me. And I had not even yet had the chance to sow my seed. I just said, Lord, I will do it. And I did it right after that. I saw God give me a miracle one day. It would have destroyed the ministry as it was known then. But God came through for me. Because I said, Lord, I'm going to sow $10,000.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the amount is. What matters is a step of faith that I took. I can keep you all day telling you story after story after story of what God has done with me like that over and over.
Yeah, fairy tale.
I've seen the power of the seed people work, and it still does. Lord, let it work in their life right now in Jesus' name. Let them obey you, Lord. Let them listen to you, Lord. Let faith arise in their hearts. Wonderful Jesus. Bless them beyond words, beyond measure. Let them see that miracle they've been waiting for.
Hallelujah. Happen.
On time, in Jesus' name. Sometimes these financial breakthroughs come the next day because God knows we need them the next day, and it's happened with me. Sometimes it comes a little bit later. God is never late with them. Never late. He's never early, but he's never, never, never late. He keeps us believing, you see. Okay. Well, you can sow that seed, and remember, you are a covenant person with covenant rights. Now, trigger the covenant and the power of the covenant by sowing seed. If they obey and serve me, they'll prosper. That's the word of God. Okay. Blessings to you. You can give. It's right there on the screen for you. Yes, go online. go to where it says donate, or simply go to benin.org, or just text BHM 45777. Father, I praise you. I praise you. The miracle is coming immediately for many of them. This financial breakthrough is coming very quickly for those who need it, in Jesus' name. You know, I got faith in my heart right now. Because you know what? I'm remembering all the Lord has done for me, and He continues to do it. To Him be the praise. Much love. I'll see you on Monday. Great week next week. Great week.
Much love. Oh, yeah, he's crazy about those people that he's scamming, right? Yes, your seed triggers the covenant. Yeah. I know. Your seed triggers the covenant. He's crazy. I think he's lost his marbles, but like I said, he's got a big debt to pay coming up, and other debts that he has to pay. So he has to think of some kind of a scam to get people to send him some money. But here's another couple audios. Now, remember that first audio that I played, it was done a couple years ago when he was saying, no, you can't tell people to give money to get a breakthrough. But of course, yesterday he was telling people that if they needed a breakthrough, they should sow a seed. And then this is done with this other heretic, James Payne, who has no shame. And Benny, I think this was done maybe 7 months ago, but here's them talking about seed sowing.
Blessed beyond words by hearing this amazing man that I have grown to love very much. He's my dear friend, Bishop James Payne. You talked about the seed and the part of the seed in a way. Now, and listen, I've heard you before, and I've heard you say some powerful things about that in the past. But the anointing that was on you 2 days ago, we are here in Houston, Texas, ministering together for Love World. And I'm just sitting there 2 nights ago, amazed. All of us, I think, were very amazed, because what you said, what God has given you, is really heavenly. And I think God's people need to get hold of it. Because, you know, we've heard a lot about sowing and reaping, about, you know, the harvest and all that. I just don't think we have any idea what that is even all about till you hear what he has to say. Because when you talk about the harvest, it's way bigger than what we have believed it to be. I think sometimes when we say the harvest, we don't really know what that means or what to expect. Now, I'm holding in my hand a seed. What happened to the seed? It's a small...
It's here, so
here,
small.
Here, right here.
So small.
It's so small. And this seed is?
It's a sequoia tree that grows 250 feet tall and 30 feet around.
You can't even see it.
I have a picture on my phone of me standing.
You show me that picture.
Yeah, standing in that sequoia tree.
I mean, you're holding this thing in your fingers here, in your hand, and you have no clue what's in it. You have no idea what power is inside this little thing on my hand.
Pastor, a real sower. A sower of sequoia trees doesn't see that seed. They see the tree. You understand?
Yes.
They don't see the minute seed. They see the magnitude of the tree. Because that's the mind of a sower. And Jesus, you know, he spoke 43 parables. 27 of those had to do with seed time and harvest. And this, the New Testament was written some, I think I heard you say this, some 50 years ago.
after Jesus left the earth,
correct,
the New Testament was written. But the Holy Spirit thought it necessary to point out every little detail about seed time and harvest as it related to the kingdom. In October of last year, God dropped a word in my spirit, and I quickly had that word copywritten because I never heard the word before. And it was the word seedonomics. And then God gave me the definition of that word and showed me the difference in economics and seedonomics.
Mm. I want to hear that. Go ahead. One more time.
Sure,
economics is the financial foundation for the economy, and then seedonomics is the financial foundation of the kingdom. Economics is natural. Seedonomics is supernatural.
Yeah. Seedonomics. He had it copywritten. Here's part two.
They couldn't afford it. But seedonomically, they could, because Jesus was the seed of God. So he took the five loaves and two fishes and multiplied it supernaturally to feed the multitudes. And he can still do that. In Genesis 1:11, on the third day of creation, he created the seed, and he only created seed one time. And he became the Lord of the harvest, and we became the Lord of the seed.
Listen, God created the seed one time.
One time.
In Genesis, one time.
11.
And we still have the seed God created, and it comes from the harvests that have been given back over and over through the many generations.
This is a kernel of corn that goes all the way back to the third day of creation. On the third planet from the sun, Earth, we're the third planet from the sun. Seed was created on the third day. Jesus rose on the third day. Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him. On the third day, Jesus' first miracle in John 2 was on the third day. So if you follow Genesis all the way to Revelation, you see the supernatural always on the third day, because that was the day he created the seed. God, you know, when he created the seed, this corn, he said, boy, I like this, thus saith the Lord, your corn.
Because if you look at it, you don't know what it is. And he says something powerful. He said, you know that a lot of the seed, if people eat seed, they're eating poison?
Yeah, apple seeds have cyanide. Apricot pits have cyanide. Peach pits are poison. And the Lord showed me in every harvest, Pastor Benny.
Think about that.
In every harvest, there's two parts. Isaiah 55:11, he tells us the rain and snow comes down out of heaven, waters the earth, that it might sprout and bring forth bread for the eater and seed for the sower. So in every harvest, there is bread for us to take care of us. God has nothing wrong with us prospering and living a prosperous life. He teaches through the word we're supposed to be prosperous. So there's a part of a harvest for us, but then there's a part of the harvest for sowing. See, there's two parts to the harvest. The part for eating, the part for sowing. Now, here's where Christians get in trouble. Is, you know, 2 Corinthians 9:10, he says he gives seed to the sower. And Christians sometimes eat their seed.
That's when our life is poisoned.
Yeah.
We're not blessed.
If I took this corn seed here. I love corn, by the way. I love corn, you know. But if I took this and ate it, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And when God gives you seed to sow and you don't sow it, it'll leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Wow.
And also, it can poison you. You know, one apple seed won't poison you, but if you keep on eating apple seeds, about a half a teacup of apple seeds will cause you to die.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, about a half a cup of these seeds will bring death to you. And see, you know, maybe you're okay financially the first Sunday you don't give, or the second Sunday you don't give, or the third. But if you keep living that kind of life,
by eating your seed,
the seed that you have is part of a harvest that God gave. So if you eat all this harvest and don't take the seed out of the harvest and re-sow it, then you're going to reach the end of your harvest and you're going to end up in financial difficulty.
Talk about, you were saying something powerful about corn.
Oh, dear. They'll come up with anything to get you to write that check. Oh, you should go and miss one Sunday not giving, I guess they didn't say tithe, but that's probably what they were referring to. If you go one Sunday and you don't give, and then you go the next Sunday and you don't give, you're going to have financial difficulty because your seed will die. Well, there's no place in the Bible at all that ever refers to money being seed. Seed is a living thing. And if you do the study, you'll see that. If you study all the scriptures on seed and money, if you put money in the ground, you're not getting money back because it's dead. So Jesus did say, give and it shall be given unto you. But of course, he never said that our giving should have selfish motives, where we're only giving because we want something back. And that's the end. We're not supposed to give out of necessity either, not because you have to. You give because you want to and because you love people. And sometimes when you see somebody has a need, you say to yourself, well, I'd like to bless them with a refrigerator, or maybe they need a can of paint or something if they're painting their apartment. They're not asking you for it. They're just telling, I'm painting my apartment, or my refrigerator broke down, or whatever. And you think to yourself, well, I can help them with that. So that's Christianity in action, is when we see a need and we say, I think I can help with that. And we do it out of compassion for the body of Christ, not because we say, I'm going to sow a seed, and if I sow a refrigerator, maybe I'll get 10 refrigerators, and maybe if I sow a can of paint, I'll get 10 cans of paint. We have to get that thinking out of our minds, because that's not Christian thinking. Christian thinking is to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we fulfill the royal law of love when we do that, and we give out of a pure heart. Because that's the way Jesus gave. That's the way Jesus gave. He gave everything he had. And he never told people to give just to get something back. It's a wrong concept. It's a wrong version of Christianity. That's not how our light should shine out into the world. That's not how we should present ourselves to a lost and dying world. Because people are hurting right now. They are really hurting. There's people that have been unemployed for a long time. There's people that are beside themselves because their kids aren't in school. They're not going out to work. They don't have any kind of a normal life. They're afraid to go out to the mall. They're afraid to go out to the grocery store. And everything's different. So people are suffering mentally. And then when you have these kind of people presenting themselves as Christians, and people are searching for something to hold on to and something to believe in, and then they're turning the channels, say, for instance, if they're turning some of these TV channels on what they call Christian television, but it's not, and they see people like this, and it just turns them off. And of course, it has to turn them off. I had a message the other day from an atheist on my YouTube channel. He said, I'm an atheist, but I have to thank you for what you're doing. And even people that don't believe in God can see what's right and what's wrong, even when some of the body of Christ can't see it, because they're so desperate for a blessing. And they feel like, well, that's an easy out, is I'll give this person $1,000 or like he's saying, Benny Hinn's saying, hinting that he gave 10,000, and look at the blessing he got. Well, he's not being blessed because he's got lots of debt. And it's not only the debt that he has to pay back to the company that was doing his mailings. He had other debts. And as soon as I get those documents, then I'll read them to you. But it's my mission anyway to see Christianity change as far as to bring or to carry on the Reformation, where the Reformation basically during Luther's time anyway was to stop the miracle selling, which the Catholic Church was doing. But we still have that today. So I think that we have to do what we can to stop this kind of a cancer, really, that's in the body of Christ that isn't building a healthy Christian. It's not building the kind of church that we want and the kind of church that we need, because these kind of doctrines and these people are so selfish, and they really bring a reproach to the cause of Christ. So when you can get somebody that's an atheist complimenting your ministry, that's that's probably, you know, I felt that was a real wonderful compliment, because they can see what's real and what's not real, and that's what we want them to see. We want them to see ministers of the gospel and Christians going about their lives and trying to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm certainly not. And all of us have areas in our life that need work, obviously. But as far as integrity, I think integrity has to be very, very important for us, and to show people our integrity, because they used to say, well, you can let your light shine. You don't even really have to open your mouth. Well, that's true in many cases, that where you work and when you're out and about, that people can see your life and notice that you're different. And they should notice that we're different. They should notice that. So we want to see more changes, but I couldn't believe it when I heard these new tapes. Anyway, if you want to watch Paula's birthday celebration for yourself, they're going to have it tomorrow on her church channel, and she's on Facebook, but she's also, I think it's under New Destiny Christian Center on Facebook or City of Destiny, or she does have a website, New Destiny Christian Center, and they have a live stream at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. 10 a.m. Eastern Time, they do their live stream. So if you wanted to watch her birthday celebration, you could see it for yourself. I don't know if they're going to show her table, because they're going to have a table in the lobby with all the gifts and the money that's going to be laid out there. But I can imagine that it might be something to see as far as just how far they're going to go with the compliments. And usually they have these video montages of all these people, important people that come on and say, oh, happy birthday, Paula. And you're such a wonderful person. And you've done this. And one year, that Goofy Johnson Franklin, he was calling her Esther. Anyway, she needs to get saved. I hope she gets saved for her own sake, because she's in bad trouble. She can have all the kind of worldly popularity and all these appointments that she wants, but what is it going to matter when Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity? Well, is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to accumulate wealth by stealing from people and lying to people and then missing out with God. It's just not worth it. You don't have peace. You can't have peace when you're living that kind of a life. But anyway, we had a special prayer request from our sister Shannon. A relative of hers is sick and needs prayer. And so please lift the person up if you think about it, and pray also that they draw close to God during this time. usually when people are facing the end of their life, many people anyway, they do turn to God. They do turn to God. And so we hope and we pray for that end and for many of our family members that don't know the Lord, that we pray the Lord of the harvest would send laborers and minister to them, because sometimes it's not us. Sometimes they won't receive from us. Families can be crazy sometimes because we can have families, brothers and sisters and cousins and things like that, but they don't really know us. They never really spent a lot of time with us, or we haven't seen them for years. And they can have preconceived notions of what they think of you. And so sometimes they won't receive from you. So we can pray that God would send other people to minister to them. And God is faithful to do that. So I want to thank all my listeners today, my listeners around the world. Thank you, everybody in the UK. It was a beautiful day there today, and they had the funeral for Prince Philip at Windsor. I visited Windsor myself, and I love the little town and the castle there, beautiful. And so we have a big shout out to all our listeners there in England and South Africa, Canada, Australia, and all our listeners around the world. If anybody has a question or you want to email me personally, you can, susan@propheticnews.com, and I will answer you. I do read my emails, and I've been trying to answer those, and also I've been reading the comments there on YouTube. I want to give a shout out to Rick, too. Thanks for listening, and remember, Jesus Christ is Lord, and no matter what we're going through, we are going to make it through all this. Sometimes we think, I think to myself, yikes, is this ever going to end? We don't know what's ahead. We really don't know, but we have to be ready for just about anything, and we have to stay strong, and especially in our minds, because some people, it does get to them after a while, the fact that they can't go out and have a normal life. And so we have to count our blessings and just pray that God gives us the strength to get through these days. But there's people out there that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you give your life to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, because it was Jesus that said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. He said, first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And that is a real experience, being born again. You will know it when it happens to you, because you will be different. Your thinking changes. All of a sudden your eyes are opened and everything is beautiful. And I'm not saying you're not going to have hard times, because we're still in this world. So we still have to go through things, but God will help you through it, and you'll know where you're going when you die. You have the promise of eternal life. So I encourage you to give your life to Jesus today. You'll never regret it. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks for stopping by. Bye-bye.